Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars Monday, a bi-week Jaguars Monday. And, you know, the Jaguars 3-3 start in their overtime victory against St. Louis gave us 2 weeks to speculate, to ask the question and answer it. Are the Jaguars a playoff contender? Can they be a playoff contender this year? You know, I don't know where they stand now, but when last week after the win over St. Louis, they were number six in the AFC, meaning if the season had ended last week at some point before this past weekend's games, the Jaguars would have been in the playoffs. Of course, it's only six games into the season, and the season doesn't end after six games, but it allowed us to speculate. It's what everybody... it's what was on everyone's mind last week. Are the Jaguars a playoff contender? All right. I took a look. I looked at the schedule. And I'm going to make some concessions. Number one, the remaining schedule is kind of cushy. It's kind of soft. If you just look at wins and losses and where teams are, Tennessee, Kansas City, clearly in down years. Buffalo has rallied a little bit recently, but that's a home game. That's certainly winnable. San Francisco lost to Houston. I think the Mike Singletary stuff is wearing off. I'm not so sure that he can continue to yell at people and get the same effect. Houston's on there. Miami, did you see anything yesterday that you liked there? At Cleveland? Even at the Jets 3 weeks from now. The Jets have been up and down. It is starting to look like a soft schedule. Anyhow, I have come to this conclusion, and I'm going to bounce it off my guest, who I'm going to bring on in a minute. He's Paul Kuharsky, AFC South blogger for ESPN.com. But I came to the conclusion that this week's game in Tennessee is a must-win for the Jaguars. If we're going to cite a somewhat soft-looking schedule as reason for the Jaguars to be For us to consider the Jaguars a possible playoff contender this year, then you have to win those softer games, right? And the Titans are 0-6. So I'm going to say that this Sunday's game in Nashville is a must-win for the Jaguars. And with that, I will bring on my guest, Paul Kuharsky. Good evening, Paul.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And let's right away, let's make sure that we congratulate you on the air for the birth of your first child. So, Daddy, how you feeling?
I appreciate it very much. It's everything everybody says and more, and it worked out nicely that I got about 10 days there, right in the middle of football season, which isn't ideal timing for him to arrive, but he came when he did, and we're thrilled to have him. So I appreciate you saying something about it, and I appreciate readers of the blog bearing with my absence for a little while there, but we're all settled now. Dad's back to work.
Well, you planned this out beautifully. I mean, your wife did a great job getting this done during the bye week. I mean, this is a real football wife.
That's true. I only missed two games instead of four, and didn't miss anything head to head. So, and now we'll see this must win game that you're talking about this weekend at home. So I don't have to go away overnight yet either.
Well, what do you think about that statement?
I think you're right. I think it's dangerous to for a team like the Jaguars to be in a game that you can classify as such. But, you know, if they're going to go above and beyond what we expected and contend for the playoffs, it's a game they have to win. And I think, Tennessee's looking at it as a game they should be able to win, if they could finally play well
because of a familiar opponent whose strength is the one thing that they've done a reasonable job of stopping the run. They didn't stop anything in New England, obviously. But I'm sure the Titans are thinking, hey, this is a team we can beat. You know, if you go personnel-wise and look at the bigger picture beyond this year, they think, I'm sure, that they have better personnel overall, though it hasn't borne itself out this year. I think, you know, the amazing thing, Vic, is everybody's talked about how top-heavy and bottom-heavy the league is. But you're talking about the Jags, you know, potentially being in position for the sixth spot there. You know, the top-heaviness isn't six deep, and so nobody's really talking about maybe five or six in the AFC having a chance to be an emerging team. Like the Jags or like the Texans or, you know, somebody that's certainly not one of the elite teams, but a team that finds a way to win enough games to be that next tier. And then, you know, all you want to do is get in and see what happens.
We're talking to Paul Kuharsky, AFC South blogger for ESPN.com. He lives in Nashville. He has covered the Tennessee Titans in Nashville for their existence, right?
Yeah, the last year in Houston even.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know you were with him in Houston. Anyhow, the obvious question, Paul, is what's wrong with the Titans?
Yeah, how long a show do we have?
I'm gonna give me the short answer because I got a bunch of bases I want to touch with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not one unit, and I can only think of one player who's played better this year than he played last year. Steven Tulloch, the middle linebacker, which is a situational position in this defense. They play a lot of nickel. Everyone else, every other spot has been significantly less good than it was last year. And all the kind of number stuff that worked in their favor last year, turnovers, third down, scoring defense, all those things have gone south. You know, and everybody that said, well, Kerry Collins can't do it 2 years in a row, and Haynesworth loss is going to be too much for them to bear, and they're starting to get a little old. All those things have come to fruition simultaneously, and people like me that saw them as a strong playoff contender for a second year in a row are looking foolish. And if I'm a Titans fan, Vic, with every loss, you know what I think? I think I'm more and more bitter about that loss to Baltimore last year because the window opened and closed in a hurry. And, you know, if you don't go through it, you got a long wait until your next one comes around.
Is Jeff Fisher in trouble there? Is he in danger of losing his job? I ask you this because Bud Adams recently made some comments I found curious. Now, he said the same thing. If you go all the way back to 2002 when the Titans were 1-4, Adams made the same kind of outrageous comments about Fisher, who was at that time certainly one of the best coaches in the game, and he still is. But are we to take those comments, which are somewhat threatening of Coach Fisher, the longest tenured coach in the National Football League, somewhat threatening of his job security? Are we to take them seriously, or is Bud Adams sending a message, or is Bud Adams just lost it?
Well, no, I think he doesn't know. I mean, I think if things certainly continue to go this way and they, you know, if they don't win a game or they win two or three games, I don't think Jeff's completely in the clear. Though Bud knows no matter what happens this year, if he were to fire Fisher, you know, Fisher would immediately go on that list, I think, with Shanahan and Cowher and Gruden. You know, he doesn't have the Super Bowls those guys have. But he's got the respect that they have, and I think he'd be snatched up in a heartbeat somewhere. And Bud Adams would hate to see Jeff Fisher come into Nashville and beat the Titans at LP Field.
What are your expectations for the Titans in this, we'll call it the second half of the season, although it really hasn't started yet. But from this point on, do you have any expectations?
They've got some of those same soft games. You know, they've got a St. Louis. You know, they've got a couple of winnable games. I think they'll win three or four games. I think they're a notch better than Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Oakland, St. Louis, Kansas City, but just barely, probably the sixth or seventh worst team in the league, and they'll be drafting sixth or seventh.
Here's what the Titans have left. And, yeah, there's a couple softies in there, but it's formidable. Jacksonville at San Francisco, Buffalo at Houston, Arizona at Indianapolis, St. Louis, Miami, San Diego, at Seattle. I'll tell you what, if they don't get a win this week
Buffalo
against
Buffalo and St. Louis, they got to get one of those for sure. And Jacksonville probably is the third third most tantalizing game for them. And you know what, the Jags are a lot tougher team than they're getting credit for, and obviously have already handled them once.
Okay, will you hang in with us for through the break?
Sure.
Okay, we're talking to Paul Kuharsky of ESPN.com. Stay with us until we're back.
All right, Victor, fans enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Paul and Vic will be back right here on Jaguars Monday. It continues on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Jaguars Rewards Programs, your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. You can save on things like Jags gear, the money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants, and a lot more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Victor.
Our guest is Paul Kuharsky, who covers the AFC South for ESPN.com. Paul, who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Titans this Sunday? Paul? We lose Paul? You mean I'll have to carry this show myself? We'll get him right back. Anyhow, we were comparing schedules, and I had made the comment coming into this segment that the Jaguars' schedule is starting to look rather soft. It's starting to look like a schedule that's doable, a schedule that could make this team a playoff contender going into December. What I see are teams such as Tennessee, Kansas City, the Jets, Buffalo, and San Francisco over the next five weeks, and those games will take us into the month of December. All right, Tennessee, Kansas City, the Jets, Buffalo. Certainly Tennessee, Kansas City, Buffalo, the Kansas City and Buffalo being home games, certainly winnable games, which would put this team at six wins heading into December. And that makes you, Paul, if you have six wins heading into December, which means that you can reach 10 wins, you have to be considered a playoff contender. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think the biggest issue really from a Jaguars perspective is Houston, because I can't see three teams getting in from the South.
No.
Because you've got three good teams in the North, and you don't know how the East is going to shake out.
When we came back on, my question was, you weren't there, but my question was, and it is again, who will be the Titans starting quarterback this Sunday?
I think it's going to be Kerry Collins. I think Jeff Fisher wants to keep the idea alive that it could be Vince Young, or that Vince Young could be used in some packages to keep the Jags on their toes. But you know better than anybody, and I just ran the numbers. Vince Young, even when he was playing well, played horribly against the Jaguars in five starts, four results. He managed 2-2. His passer rating something like 50.5. I think 10 picks, maybe 3 touchdowns, or 8 picks, 3 touchdowns, 10 sacks, something like that. I think Jaguars fans are probably rooting for Vince Young to play.
They've made the call on him, have they not? He's not their future.
I believe so. I believe so, but I think they're still going to have to roll him out. And it's odd, because it'll really be rolling him out at some point for me and you and for the fan base, not to get their own verdict, because I think they've got their verdict, like you said.
What if the Titans had drafted a guy right from their hometown, and I'm talking about Jay Cutler. What if they had picked Jay Cutler in that draft?
Well, I think he'd be doing better than he's doing now. I certainly wasn't a very impressive performance on Sunday. Leinart too. I'm not so sure. Leinart still doesn't have a chance to be a player, and wouldn't have had a chance to be developed here. That's my biggest thing, and what I hope the Titans will do going forward is, you know, Jeff Fisher, it's very clear what he wants. You know, it took a long time for Steve McNair to kind of fit in and for them to kind of come to terms with what he was and what he wasn't, and for it to work. Jeff Fisher and Mike Heimerdinger are best off with a pocket passer. They're going to have a good offensive line. They're going to have a good running game. They're going to try to build a good defense. They need a guy who could stand in, make all of the throws, maybe sidestep, but they don't need a guy that can run around. And so if they're drafting a guy, if they're trading for a guy, if they're looking in free agency for a guy, Don't go get a guy that can run around that's a square peg round hole thing. They're a bit susceptible for this because they've asked Vince Young to do things that aren't what he does. Go get a guy that does what you want
to
do.
We're speaking to Paul Kuharsky, AFC South blogger for ESPN.com. Paul, what is your opinion of the Jaguars? Do you believe they really are a playoff contender, or they're just a bye week tease or a week schedule imposter?
No, I think they're ahead of schedule, and you and I talked in training camp, and I think we're on the same page that the best case scenario for this team we thought was, can it be playing better in November and December than it plays in September and October, and be on the upswing, and that even a not great record, if they were on that upswing, would signify a successful season. They're ahead of where I expected them to be, absolutely. And I think they've got a good chance maybe at 8-8, which I think would be a heck of a job for them. But I think personnel-wise, they're just short of the cream of the AFC. And while there might be room there, and it's possible, I think they'll end up more like the 8th or 10th team in the conference. But they're going to be a team that after another draft with Gene Smith, who clearly knows what he's doing, another free agency period where they won't go for big ticket guys but can get some more pieces, there'd be a formidable team going into next year and on upswing and have kind of fixed things in relative short order.
What did you think of Commissioner Goodell's, Roger Goodell's comments this weekend about London, which really caught a lot of people by surprise and has led a lot of people, a lot of media people, to speculate that it's going to be the Jaguars that are going to be ticketed for London down the road. We know it's going to be whoever goes there, and it appears that Commissioner Goodell is obsessed with building a following for a team in London for the purpose of putting a team permanently in London. We know almost for sure that it has to be a team from the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
What do you think of all this?
Your choice of words is a good one there. I really like the commissioner, and I think he's made a lot of good moves, but he does seem a little bit obsessed with the London idea, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does.
This kind of split time idea, I don't know if it could work. I'm skeptical about the travel and the wear and tear that's going to put on a team. I understand if a team split time, it'd probably be in the States for 3 weeks at a time, be in London for 3 weeks at a time. I think the Jaguars have to consider all their options. Certainly, if you're London's team and they're selling your logo in London and American football is catching on in London, that's a heck of a market to layer on top of Jacksonville for Wayne Weaver. If the league wants to give you that on a silver platter and accommodate it, I would think it would make you significantly more valuable.
Well, they're not going to give. They're not going to give. The league is not going to give London or Los Angeles to anybody. There's going to be a relocation fee. You can count on that. And it's going to be a big relocation fee, because you're not going to give away the London market. You don't get the London market for free. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. So who are the candidates then who are going to be bidding on?
That's what I'm asking you.
I don't know. I don't know that there's anybody that's saying, I got to get overseas and I want to be the pioneer that goes the wrong direction across the pond on this. It's just I don't think there are many owners or markets that share the commissioner's fondness for this idea at this point.
Yeah,
maybe Malcolm Glazer does, because he's got a soccer team over there, but he's the one that would make the most sense. But it doesn't. Tampa Bay's got a new stadium. I can't imagine that they're looking to send their team overseas.
Plus, they're a real Super Bowl destination. The league would not want to abandon the Tampa Bay market. Let me ask you this last question. What is the view of this franchise, of the Jaguars franchise, from Nashville? What obviously everybody knows that it's having trouble selling tickets. What is your view? What is the general view from Nashville of the Jaguars franchise?
Well, I think the first thing Nashville thinks of when they think of Jacksonville is just the glory of 99. To be able to be a thorn in a team's side that way
then it loses only three games, and you deliver all three losses and win the AFC Championship game on the road is obviously as good as it's been in Nashville. But beyond that, Vic, I think a lot of people there might be surprised. I think Nashville is largely sympathetic to Jacksonville because, you know, these two markets were viewed kind of as kindred spirits in terms of southern markets with solid college football followings that would take to the NFL and kind of become more well-rounded football markets. And it's really worked in Nashville the way the league envisioned it. And the perception is it's not worked in Jacksonville, very much, you know, almost two sides of the coin. And Paul, I think Nashville is sympathetic to that, as a lot of University of Tennessee fans here who've made it work, you know, and Knoxville's three and a half hours away. And they've found a way to have an affinity for both these teams in a way that you don't necessarily see with the University of Florida and the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. And I think people here are a bit curious as to why it hasn't happened and a bit relieved that it's not them.
I like that. I like that thought. And I want to talk about that with my listeners in the second half hour, the way that the Titans have married up with the University of Tennessee and their fans. I don't think that we've done a very good job of that here. Paul, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday in Nashville.
Safe travels, Vic. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for bringing up those 99 memories. I appreciate that. That was nice.
We'll talk about that in the second half hour.
You got it. Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. Your chance to call in happens right now, gang. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Outside the calling area, 1-800-355-NFL1. Vic returns on Jaguars Monday right after news on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday on the only flagship station, Jacksonville, you have ever known, News Talk Radio, WOKV. And here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make jaguarsearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. jaguarsearch.com. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to.
I was going to lay a phone number on him, but
go ahead, lay the phone number on him because this is the second half of the show. This is their half of the show. Sometimes they get the whole show. Tonight it's half the show. Wanted to bring Paul Kuharsky on as we did. Paul's from ESPN.com. He is an AFC South expert. I think he gave us some real solid information on the Tennessee Titans. Go ahead, Joe.
Nice to hear him say that the Nashville is kind of sympathetic with us in our
I completely agree. You know, let's carry this on a little bit here before you throw out the... Go ahead, throw out the number.
355-NFL1. That's 6351 if you can't do letters. And if you're calling outside the area, 1-800-355-NFL1.
What's good for the Jaguars is good for the Titans. What's good for the Titans is good for the Jaguars. They are rivals. They are each other's number one rival. It's that way because tradition says it so. That's what builds rivalries. That's what builds games, must-play games, must-win games, bragging rights games. It's tradition. It's history. And the Jaguars and the Titans have that. Yes, the AFC title game in 1999 is just a horrible, horrible stake in the heart for this franchise and for its fans. Even still, 10 years later, it's a horrible stake in the heart. It's hard to imagine. 10 years ago. Joe, that was 10 years ago.
And Fisher's words didn't help either.
But
this,
you know,
being just another home game.
But, you know, Joe, down the road, if we can keep this thing alive and grow it, that's one of the bookmarked, one of the dog-eared pages of the Jaguars book.
But what Paul said was very important. How do you, we got a great college town here. How do you marry the two?
Paul's right on. They've done a very, very good job.
But how did they do it?
I don't know. They've done a great job in Nashville of somehow marrying the football fan in Nashville that was being asked to be a pro football fan and clearly was a college football fan, a fan of Vanderbilt, and a fan of the University of Tennessee. Let's not forget, they've got, it's not just the University of Tennessee down the road, as it is here with the University of Florida down the road. Nashville has a major college football team, a Southeastern Conference football team, right in their city limits. And they have done a beautiful job of getting the college football fan to split his loyalties or to turn his loyalties on Sunday to the Titans. You know, that hasn't happened here. I've always had the sense here that it's one or the other. That if you like college football, you can't like pro football. If you like pro football, then you're going to be resentful of college football, and I've never gotten it. Why can't you like both? All my life, I grew up as someone who watched college football on Saturday and watched pro football on Sunday. I watched Pitt and Penn State and Notre Dame and Ohio State and Michigan and the teams up there, and I was as interested in them as I was in the Steelers and the Redskins and the Colts, the Baltimore Colts and the Cleveland Browns, you know, on Sunday. Kudos to the Titans. They did. Kudos to the Titans and kudos to the Titans fans. They saw that a football fan is a football fan. You don't draw a line between college and pro. Anyhow, while we were in break, I did some math here. I wrote some things down. Everybody wants to know, can the Jaguars be a playoff contender? Okay, here it is. You want to be a playoff contender? Here's how you do it. This is the simplest head-on strategy for becoming a playoff contender. I got nine playoff contenders right now. What do we have? 7 weeks into the season in the AFC East. In the AFC. In the East, Patriots and Jets. In the North, Bengals, Steelers, and Ravens. In the South, Colts, Jags, and Texans. And in the West, Broncos. I'm writing the Chargers off at this point. I know that they have talent and they could get back, but right now I'm kind of done with them for a while. I mean, the way the egg they laid against the Broncos at home in a big game, I'm just kind of done with them right now, so I'm going to leave them out. Those are the nine teams that I consider at this point to be the true AFC playoff contenders. Now, here's the formula for making the playoffs. It's real simple. Beat the Jets in New York on November the 15th. Beat the Texans in Jacksonville on December the 6th, you see? And now, and then just one more thing. Just one more thing. Root for the Bengals and Steelers to each beat the Ravens, and you're in. Now, obviously, the Jaguars would have to win some other games. But I think we've already substantiated that there are some doable games. There are some winnable games, should win games on this schedule. And one of them is this Sunday against the Tennessee Titans, the winless Tennessee Titans. I consider it to be a must-win game. If the Jaguars don't win that game, I cannot consider them a playoff contender. I'm walking the line right now. I really don't think they are. But when I look at their schedule, I have to acknowledge that it can be done. Let's go to the phone lines and let's talk to David in St. Augustine Beach. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Mr. Ketchman. Thanks for taking my call. I've really enjoyed what Kuharsky's doing on ESPN. It's nice to have a national website where you can actually get somewhat relevant information about the Jaguars on almost.
What's wrong with my website?
Come on now, I'm a daily frequenter of the Jaguars.com, and it might not even be the most productive thing.
I'm better than Kuharsky. Come on.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
To get on and just lump praise on you every night, that's taking a little far, you know.
Well, don't hesitate. You know, I mean,
you do a great job, but thanks. Hey. I'm glad to hear that the people of Nashville are still holding on to the glory years of 99 the way we are. So that was kind of good to know, even though it conjured up a lot of bad memories. But what I wanted to mention was, in retrospect, how much of a farce, how much of a sham, how much of a debacle, of a wronging was Vince Young winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year over Maurice Jones-Drew?
Okay. And that's a great question. I'm going to ask you to take the answer off the line because I'm going to answer it and we're going to go to a break quick. I rambled too much when we came back. Actually, this show needs to be 2 hours. That's the problem. But it's a great question. Yes. In retrospect, it's kind of the way I look at Jason White winning the Heisman Trophy over Larry Fitzgerald. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That you would actually give the Heisman Trophy to a guy who wasn't even deserving of being drafted, who didn't have enough talent. You're going to call a guy who didn't have enough talent to be drafted, the best football player in America, give me a break. And then the other guy almost stole the Super Bowl, all right? Same situation. You're going to tell me that Vince Young, who throws a football as though his hand is growing out of his shoulder, a guy who is as bad a passer as I have ever seen, you're going to give him the Rookie of the Year award because he did a great job of dropping back, looking like he was going to throw, and then ran? I'm with you. Give me a break. That award should have gone to Maurice Jones-Drew. He got screwed on that one. He really did. I think there's some leftover or latent bitterness about that on his part. Time for a break?
Yeah, you're
last
get
break.
That break you asked
let's
for.
Get the break in. Let's come back, and then let's really turn it on.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, foods, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today. You know the numbers. I'll give them to you again when we come back. This is Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday with the star of the show, Vic Ketchman. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Victor?
Thank you, Joe. And let's talk to Daryl in Middleburg. Good evening, Daryl.
Good evening. How are you?
Daryl, do you really want me to answer that question, or is that just rhetorical?
No, I really want you to answer the question.
Daryl,
how are you personally?
Awful. I couldn't be more. I don't know if I've been more awful in my life.
Really?
Let me tell you how my bye weekend went. Friday, we had to put one of our dogs to sleep.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir. As a dog owner myself, I know that hurt.
That was my little girl, and I miss her.
I bet you do.
My family is really suffering right now, and my other dog won't eat. He won't get out of bed. I mean, I can tell you this. My family would recover much more quickly if it had been me.
I don't believe that.
We're really suffering. But anyhow, Daryl, what do you got on your mind?
Well, the statement that you were making at the end of the interview that you had the first half of the show about how Tennessee had been able to make their relationship with UT better than what we'd been able to make our relationship with Florida, I think there were some factors in there that are totally different, and the dynamic is different.
You're talking
3.5 hours.
Okay.
3.5 hours away.
If Tennessee is 3.5 hours away, Knoxville is 3.5 hours from Nashville.
You're pretty close.
Yeah. I know you're close. I'm going to say 3 hours.
Okay. So now you got 1 hour from Jacksonville to Gainesville.
That's a rocket sled.
You'd have to be on the west side. You can do it in an hour. From the west side. Okay. And also, I mean, I live out here. It's a continuous car stream going that way.
Okay.
You look at the records of the teams comparatively. If we did not have UF where it's located, if you were competing with, say, FSU or even UGA, okay, you would, over the last 10 years, 12 years, looking at their record, yeah, they had winning records, so Tennessee, but they weren't national championships.
Okay, hold on. I got to interrupt you. First of all, you're missing Vanderbilt, which is right in the same town as the Titans. And they played on their field. The Titans played on their field in 1998, all right? I don't quite understand the concept of the farther away, the better. I would think it would even benefit the relationship that Gainesville is 90 miles away from Jacksonville, from downtown Jacksonville, and Knoxville is 200 miles away from downtown Nashville. Now, I don't think this is about geography, Daryl. I really think this is about some kind of mindset. This is about some kind of ancient order, some kind of dividing line, and I have some If the show was longer, I could talk about this a little bit in, as far as some experiences I've had in speaking engagements that have kind of crossed that line. And, I mean, you can feel it. I mean, I can tell you about standing up in front of a crowd of college football fans and feeling as though I was talking to Martians. They had no interest in what I was saying.
The thing about it is, though, also, you figure this. You go where your money's at, and a lot of the people in Jacksonville are only an hour away from their alma mater. Okay, their money has gone there. They have been in the habit of the last 4 years.
But why can't you do both? Why can't you do both? Why does it have to be one or the other?
Quite honestly?
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with the money and the time.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off, and I want to get one more caller in before we end the show.
As cheap as they can be in Jacksonville, don't get me wrong, but I think the money of the two and the excitement of UF, it pulls away.
You can't do both, you're saying.
Yeah,
Jacksonville really, does not have the financial resources to be a fan of both teams.
It's a small market.
Okay. I'm not sure I agree with that. Maybe we can talk about this more on the Wednesday show. Let's get one more call in. John from Keystone. No, I'm sorry, John. Let's talk to Tina on the west side, who has her own thoughts on this same subject matter. John, we'll get you next week. Tina, good evening.
Hi, Vic. I'm very sorry to hear about your loss.
Thank you. I am very appreciative of that sentiment. Can you be quick with this, because I don't want to cut you off in midstream?
Absolutely. It's the economy, stupid. We are a smaller city. Nashville is a bigger city. It is a richer city. They have a smaller stadium, and Jacksonville just did not grow the way they were expecting us to. And we have a stadium that is built for the Florida-Georgia game, which I intend to enjoy a lot. All of my friends love the Jags.
The stadium has been sized down by 10,000 seats they've covered. The stadium is now sized to the marketplace. That point is not valid, Tina. As far as the money is concerned, I have statistics, I have surveys on my desk as we speak that I could start flipping those pages and shoot down everything you're saying.
Well, I know I try to go to as many Gators games as I can. I try to go to as many Jags games as I can. And most of my friends do the same thing. I mean, it gets old after a while. We're trying to support the team as much as we can.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So you don't think they're...
I don't think it's you. I just, you know, it's getting old. London, Orlando. We're trying. We're trying the best we can.
No, I understand that. But that's
not... We love the Jags.
That's not the question. The question is, why has Nashville been successful in marrying and getting college football fans to accept professional football, yet it's not been as easy to do that here? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know the Martians you met. I mean, I know that everybody I hang out with loves both teams.
Okay, it's a good answer. That's a good answer. And maybe we can, maybe Jeff and...
All day Saturday and Sunday, every week.
That's a good answer. I like the answer, Tina. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Maybe Jeff and Brian would like to talk about this more on Wednesday. It is a bye week kind of thing, you know. I mean, we don't have a game to grab onto. Jeff will certainly do his chalk talk kind of thing. We always welcome that. But he doesn't have a game from this past Sunday to grab onto. So we're going to have some more. We're going to have more time for philosophical type debate. And maybe we can get into this, Joe. What do you think?
But isn't it possible it has nothing to do with trying to marry the college fan
NFL? No, I think Paul is on something. I really, really do.
Should there be enough people to go
around? There are not enough people in Nashville to support one or the other.
You don't think so?
They had to. I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring in stats. I'm going to bring in some surveys, some results of per capita income, et cetera, and share them on Wednesday if we get into this subject matter. But I know I'm with Paul on this one. He made a very, very good point, very salient point, and it's right at the heart of the Jaguars' attendance issue.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll do it again next week. Don't forget tomorrow night. It's Brian Sexton along with the coach for the Jack Del Rio Show, and Vic will be back on Wednesday with Jeff Lagerman and Brian Sexton for Jaguars This Week. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.